Well, let's turn now to Julian Zelizer, professor of history and public affairs at Princeton University. Julian, first off, let's just talk about this mask issue. When you hear about the politicization of masks, with Biden wearing a mask yesterday, President Trump not wearing a mask, is there anything in history to compare that to?
Well, it reminds me a little, after 9/11, there was a debate over airport security and how to secure the places of travel. And it quickly turned into a fiercely partisan issue with the Democrats and the Republicans really at odds over how to do this. But this is even worse than that, because this is a very basic health measure. And now we're watching this accelerate through the presidency into a bitter point of partisan conflict.
And it played out on Memorial Day, a day that we remember those who have sacrificed their lives for the country from a number of different wars. It turns out we have now lost more Americans from the coronavirus than from both Vietnam and the Korean War combined. What is your sense of the magnitude of this crisis at this point?
The magnitude is enormous. It has elements of all other crises that we've had combined. The human cost is very consequential in terms of the lives that are gone and the people who are still suffering, though they are surviving. The economic cost in the short term and possibly a long-term recession or depression reminds us of the 1930s. And then one other element is what this does to basic civic institutions such as schools and religious houses of worship, and are they able to survive? So you're combining all of these into one package, and this is really a historic crisis that's also playing out with the same political fault lines that we had before this started.
Well, when you talk about schools and institutions, you're saying basically that this is going to have a lasting effect. It's not going to be just a blip that we bounce back from immediately.
That's exactly right. Now schools are saying the kind of budget cuts, for example, they are going to suffer will be very consequential on how schools function and the kind of education they provide. And everyone from universities to elementary schools is contending with the fact all of this might be reorganized in profound ways in terms of what these institutions look like. So this doesn't go away even when the pandemic comes to an end.
Julian, what about the sacrifices that ordinary Americans are making in their daily lives for the good of the country? What they're being asked to do by their governors and in some cases the federal government, and what we're all actually doing?
We are. We think of what we lose, but I think it's important to think of what people are giving. In times of crisis, people have served in war in the military. They've lived with rations and price controls. Our version of this is to live with social distancing, to give up our contact with people, to live with certain kinds of economic risks, and really to endure a period that seems unending. And that's the basic sacrifice that's being asked of everyone, to stay away from each other and to live with these new rules, from face masks to standing several feet away from people. And that is an important and valuable form of sacrifice that I think ranks with the others I mentioned.
I want to finally ask you about how this crisis has put America on display and how it's seen in the world. For my entire life, America has been a leader in the world, especially in times of crisis. Right now, we're hearing about other countries taking pity on us because the coronavirus has hit so hard here. What do you make of that?
Well, it's a crisis that isn't the same as a war, which instantly gets into all sorts of controversial issues about the nature of the war. So I think a lot of the country, despite maybe not liking the political leadership, still has a good feeling about the citizens. And many other countries have suffered through this or are still suffering through it. So it's easy to be have empathy when you know exactly what it looks like for someone in Italy. They understand what someone in New York City, for example, is feeling. So these are the moments that good leaders can also capitalize on to create international coalitions to fight this and prevent it from happening again.
Well, and how much does it matter, do you think, how the rest of the world views us?
It matters a lot. Ultimately, this is an international crisis. It's not a national crisis, and nor is right. this the only pandemic we are going to have. So we will have to work together to get beyond this and to contain future episodes, and that requires international cooperation. So if there's good feeling, that's the basis for leaders to form coalitions.
Julian Zelizer, Professor of History and Public Affairs at Princeton University, thanks as always.
Thanks for having me.